Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the winter meetings have heated up. Edwin Diaz is a Los Angeles Dodger. The New York Yankees haven't really done anything, so I think Yankee fans are kind of enjoying their Tuesday because they're laughing at Met fans while simultaneously saying, hey, Cash, what are you up to? I've been giving this thought about the Yankees. If you take Brian Cashman at his word that they have wiggle room to spend, right? They can spend money. They may not spend like drunken sailors, but they can hand out one big contract, okay? And they're clearly interested in Cody Bellinger. Brian Cashman has made that very, very clear. The more I think about it, if I had one big contract I could spend, and I'm the New York Yankees, and I'm looking at everybody in free agency, do you know the player I would bring in? It would not be Cody Bellinger, and I like Cody. The more I think about it, when I look at this roster and I look at the fit, what are you smiling about? You got something funny back there?
I think I know who.
You want to say the name at the same time?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Bo Bichette.
How did you? What?
Because I thought about it long and hard last night. I said, if you told me we're getting Bichette and we lost Bellinger, it makes all the sense in the world.
It makes more sense. Like, you have an outfield right now that at least you could rationalize, okay. Trent Grisham had a really good year last year. I got Dominguez. I got Spencer Jones. Maybe I add a fourth outfielder type. I've also got Jose Caballero that can play the outfield as well. What do I really need? Well, I've got a third baseman that can't hit lefties and swings and misses all the time. I don't really have a shortstop, nor do I trust the shortstop who is supposedly coming back.
Right.
And I have a left-handed hitting first baseman who, you know, we'll see what he is as a first baseman defensively every day. Wouldn't it be perfect to
Especially since you're talking about defense.
Yes.
Right.
Wouldn't it be perfect to add a right-handed bat who could play shortstop,
bat leadoff,
bat leadoff, hit for a high average, and then eventually, if Volpe proves he's who Brian Cashman thinks he is, just moves to third base, where he's ideally fitted anyway. Bo Bichette really does make the most sense for the New York Yankees.
Would not get me yelling and screaming if they paid Bo Bichette and then stuck Dominguez out there and let him ride. I think that's the perfect... When you think about what the Yankees need and the flexibility of the lineup, he, in many ways, if you're ignoring the Stephen Kwan pipe dreams of a trade, is the perfect need. Also, it addresses the infield. You got outfield prospects.
Yeah.
And for anyone concerned about his infield defense, he's not the greatest defensive shortstop. No big deal. It's temporary. Like, he's the shortstop.
Neither is Anthony Volpe.
Well, Volpe could be.
Thank you. Come on.
He could be.
It's bad, but it wasn't just last year with the injury. He fell off the year before.
Nah, his gold glove defense was there, man. His defense has been stellar until last year. I don't think that's
when
fair.
He started taking knees to field grounders.
I
hear you. I hear what you're saying, Sean. And you're just still caught in the Anthony Volpe vitriol that was so loud last season. And you kind of started to excuse him after we found out he had a torn rotator cuff or whatever that labrum. He had a torn labrum and ultimately needed surgery. But there's a creeping of doubt in Anthony Volpe. But he's still, I think, a prospect who could be really good at the position.
And that's the beauty of Bo Bichette. Like, he's the shortstop for now. Anthony is going to come back in May. If he comes back and proves himself and retakes the job, Bo Bichette puts Ryan McMahon on notice.
Right.
I think it gives the Yankees great versatility. But you know what, Sean? Look at you and I on the same page.
Evan, for the third straight year, I'm going to utter a sentence to you. You remain surprised how much baseball I watch. It's very odd. Always very odd.
I thought you were going to be surprised at how much I'm on the pulse of the Yankees. I thought you were complimenting me.
Because while me and Tiki get our 8 hours of sleep, you get your 3 hours of sleep. God only knows what you're looking up and researching.
You know what
I'm a loser.
You know what I saw last night that I want to share with all of you?
What?
I was watching Yankees Hot Stove. And I'd like to play you a clip from Yankees Hot Stove.
Okay.
One of my favorite people in the world is the great Omar Minaya. I think we all love Omar Minaya. Not only a fine gentleman, former general manager of the Mets, and now Brian Cashman's right-hand man, a big part of player development. So Omar was on Yankee Hot Stove last night and was asked about player development, and he was selling it to Yankee fans like, yo, Austin Wells, that's a Yankee, that's player development. And he was going through Ben Rice, that's a Yankee, that's player development. And then he got to Cam Schlittler.
You know,
Schlittler.
I know I'm going to get killed for that, but everybody's tough name for me.
He said it twice. We had to beep it twice.
That's awesome.
I wish we didn't have to beep it because it was an attempt at a regular name.
Right.
But yeah, he was, and he was so fired up while doing it that twice he's like, Bleepler, Bleepler.
You know,
Schlittler.
Oh, that's great.
And then the guys on the dais are like, we have to save Omar.
Right.
We have to say his name.
If you're stuck on it, just don't even say it. Cam, you got to help me with his last name.
Big Cam. Can we just call him Big Cam from now on?
Big Cam. Yeah.
Which brings me to a good
point.
It's
actually not that hard. Schlittler's not that hard.
Assuming we were all on the air for the entirety of Cam Schlittler's career, do you think we all make it to the end of his career without slipping up once?
Well, I think yeah, because we would have done it already.
I completely agree. And for the record, we haven't done it yet. I mean, other people have, but we have not done a mistake with Cam Schlittler yet. For the record?
No.
I think we got through it.
I think I almost had one. I think I stopped myself.
But that's
because Tommy wanted to dump me, and I was like, I didn't really say it.
But think about those summer days he pitches, you know, maybe a little aloof for a second.
Yeah, but we're going to say his name so often. I'm trying to think of it. There's another example of this where he just, it was the Jazz stuff.
Right.
The Jazz Chisholm. Everybody was like, oh, they're going to get caught saying it the wrong way. We never said it the wrong way. Because once you start saying it, it becomes familiar to you.
It gets easier over time.
Yes.
I think he's nailed it. Your Sports IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. When was the last time the Washington Commanders, or Redskins, swept the Giants in back-to-back seasons? Right now, we'll take caller number 5 at 866-540-WFAN to answer your Sports IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your Sports IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and Cadillac's family of EVs, including the first-ever all-electric Escalade IQ. Dave is in Flatbush. What's up, Dave?
How you doing? I'm not asking how you're doing, actually. I'm also frustrated and disappointed. But I will say one thing. I'm not sure, first, before I say it, I'm not sure I could ever listen to a trumpet again, except for maybe during taps when I tell my son about this. 2 weeks in a row, or 2 out of 3 weeks, with Nimmo and Diaz is just gonna kill the kid. But God forbid. But I will say one thing. First of all, with the World Series, the last two World Series, Evan, who was our closer?
You're talking about
Familia and Benitez.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Familia and Benitez.
Yes.
So we're doing much better than that already with Williams.
No, I'm not going to let that fly.
How do we
know that? The problem with Armando Benitez was the big moment. It wasn't the regular season. So how do we know Devin Williams isn't blowing game one the World Series the way those two fellow gentlemen did? How do we know that?
I stand corrected on that, but I will say one thing that I really, really believe. The word that's being thrown around is respect. They didn't respect him enough to do this. They didn't respect him enough to do that. Spare me. Okay, he's the highest paid closer in baseball. He opted out, and they offered him a contract, which he got $3 million more, which clearly he was trying to go elsewhere. Okay, respect was when he was awful his first year, got injured in the World Baseball Classic, came back. The team has stuck with him. Respect is more if they let Alonso go, because Alonso was a homegrown guy who has been nothing but a champ for this team. He's what you call a respect pay. He has not made that massive contract yet. But a guy who has already gotten paid and who's already opted out of the biggest contract of a closer, respect is a word that I'm going to stay away from. But in the end of the day, we wanted Stearns to be this GM. We're excited we got Steve Cohen, the billionaire owner who's willing to pay money. We got the guy who has the brains to run this team. I think we still have to allow him to manage and to run this team. And the minor
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle,
check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Minor leagues are the minor league. And let's see how it goes.
Dave, I'm allowing him to run the team. I'm going to be critical because that's what we do. We give our opinions. I have never once suggested the Mets should fire David Stearns. He needs to be removed. I'm just going to tell you that as moves are made, good or bad, I'm going to give you my opinion. That doesn't mean we're not allowing him to do his job. He's going to be allowed to do his job, and he'll be graded on it. He's been here for 2 years. They had one really good year, one disastrous year. That's on him, and we will judge him accordingly.
Yeah, and ultimately, you're not going to judge this offseason truly until the regular season starts and you see what the team looks like.
I think we're going to judge
it. Idea.
We're going to judge it three times, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. The first time is in real time, which is what we're doing now. The second time will be, yes, the completion of the offseason. Hey, what'd you think of this? Overall, what'd you think of that? And then, absolutely, Tiki, the results are the ultimate definition.
Right.
Because two offseasons ago, most people looked at David Stearns' offseason pitching additions and said, this is bargain bin crap. And it all worked, and they got to the NLCS. Right? And then last year, we all said, got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
When you sign someone that we all know stinks like Frankie Montas, maybe he knows better. The term I used is it's a heat check. It's an NBA player who's hit a bunch of threes.
Yep.
It's a heat check moment.
David Stearns was on a heat check.
He clanked it. It was an ugly heat check. It may be Jordan Clarkson tonight with Deuce McBride out. I don't know. It was an ugly heat check. So we're going to give our opinions as it happens. We're going to give our opinions when the offseason is over, and then ultimately you are right. The results will be the determining factor.
Mm-hmm.
So far, who knows? I don't feel good, but who knows? And what I don't want to hear...
We won't know.
We won't know what?
We won't know until we know.
You're confusing me.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
I know.
You won't know until you know.
We won't know until we know.
We don't know what his plan, what David Stearns' plan is right now. We don't know where he's ultimately pivoting to. Obviously, with closer, it's probably Devin Williams, but we don't know what this roster is going to look like. We don't know what this roster, once it gets together, how they're going to play well or not together. We just don't know. Now, not only are they remaking the roster and the pitching staff and the closing staff, they're also remaking the coaching staff.
Yeah, no, a lot of things remade.
There's so much new that's going to come into this season. and we're going to have expectations, but we have no idea what it's going to look like.
Scott is in Hamilton. Hey, Scott. Hello, Scott. Scott going once. Scott, sorry, not in the mood. We're not waiting around. Mark is in Midland Park. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Two things. You got to hear me out. First thing is, do you think he just wanted, looked around the locker room, and said, we're never winning a championship here. I'm out. Mm. I mean, that's very possible. I mean, that's one thing. But the other thing, really.
I don't think he did. Athletes as competitors, you don't really do that.
I mean,
I think he could look at the Dodgers and say, I have a better chance with the Dodgers. But I don't think he's saying, if I go to the Mets, there's no chance we're winning. I don't think he would do that. A competitor doesn't do that.
I don't know. We're not in the locker room. But the other thing really that's disturbing is look at the state of baseball. Where Evan, you were just saying that guys are not going, same contracts, not going to other cities because why? I mean, because of they don't think they're ever going to win there. I mean, it's just all this money, it's ruining everything.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
You know why I don't want to bitch about this, Mark? And I would be a major hypocrite to whine that the Dodgers signed another great player. Because I want to be the Dodgers. You want to be the Dodgers. Every Met fan talked about Steve Cohen like he was going to be what the Dodgers are. We're going to buy everybody. He's the king, as Sal would say. And we all wanted that. So now we're going to complain when someone else is doing it bigger and better than Steve Cohen? I can't be a hypocrite about it.
Right.
Like, I wasn't crying about the Pittsburgh Pirates last week. Now we're going to feel bad for the small market teams?
No, you can't. I mean, they put in the Cohen tax, and little did they know it was going to affect the Dodgers more than Steve Cohen.
They should rename that immediately.
100%.
It is not the Cohen tax.
It's the Guggenheim tax.
Yes. Even though Cohen pays the Cohen tax, we are not the Dodgers. And that is the biggest lesson that we probably should have known for the last few years. You've been preaching it for a while, mostly to Yankee fans, that there's a new evil empire, and it's the L.A. Dodgers. Well, to my fellow Met fans, I'm glad Steve Cohen owns the team. Because I still prefer this over the Wilpons, but
you're not.
He's not what we thought they were going to be. He's not the Dodgers.
Right. You're not really competing with what the Dodgers are trying to do.
Not right now.
Every year.
Not right now.
Every year.
Not when. And you know what the Dodgers are trying to do right now? Because if you think they're done, you're naive. The Los Angeles Dodgers are actively pursuing Tarik Skubal from the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. They are trying to acquire him. Now, the good news is, ultimately, that comes down to which package Detroit prefers. So it's not about money. It's not about deferring money. It is about, will Detroit ultimately look at what the Dodgers are offering and say, we prefer that?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they do, maybe they don't. So if that happens, I don't think we can complain other than maybe complain that the Mets didn't offer enough.
Right.
Maybe that'll be the case. But don't look now. The Tigers are trying to get Tarik Skubal. They just added the best closer in baseball. And they're looking to add the best pitcher in baseball. And you know what they're saying to all of us? What you're going to do about it?
Yeah. Yep.
And so far, the answer from Steve Cohen and Hal Steinbrenner is nothing. That's their answer. Nothing. We'll try. You know what? Maybe we'll trade for Marcus Semien. Maybe we'll bring back Cody Bellinger. That's the answer so far from our ownership to the Dodgers, who are spitting at all of us. Forget the small market team. Screw them. They got a bunch of cheap owners that don't want to spend. How about us? They're looking into the eyes of the Yankees, the Mets, the Padres, and they're saying, what are you going to do about it? We just signed Edwin Diaz. You going to do something about that? Cute. We're going to try to trade for Tarik Skubal. You going to do something about that? And none of us are doing a damn thing.
And if I'm the Mets or Yankees, with these rumors, I'm completely out on trading for Tarik Skubal, too. Because what's to tell you? He's going to free agency. If the Dodgers are already flirting, it tells you they're going to be the biggest bidder. Why would I trade anything to the Tigers if I think the Dodgers now are going to sign Skubal in 2 years?
I understand your point. Right. Like, I am not dismissing it. But you can't live that way.
Why not? It's a new world.
Because you can't just genuflect and give up. You do have to fight.
No. You don't
you
give up.
You have to try. I'm hoping that ownership will try. Both owners.
You don't give up on players, but I think I give up on anybody that there's a scent towards the Dodgers being interested in. I'm sorry.
Now, in fairness,
you're right. As soon as the Dodgers get into that conversation, it's over.
They're sniffing now to trade for him? What do you think they're going to do when he's a free
agent? It almost feels like how you used to talk about the Yankees, except it's not. The Yankees don't let go of their own. If the Dodgers want you, you're going to the Dodgers.
No, not necessarily, though, because they tried to get Juan Soto and they didn't get him. They had their deferred money. The difference was the Mets and other teams were able to take that further step.
Okay, but
they didn't do that with Edwin
Diaz. Okay, that is a different scenario altogether.
They tried to get him, did they not?
There is no way you're paying two guys $1.5 billion.
Why, they're Guggenheim.
I know, but that's absurd. That is absurd.
I get
two largest contracts by far in the history of the league aren't going to the same team. There's no chance.
I understand your point, Sean. I don't think that you can own or manage or general manage a freight. And I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say this, because who am I to be arrogant or douchey to anybody? I know you're also gun-shy, because you also did make that trade for a one-year rental and lose that man a year later.
Oh, actually, it just happened to us twice.
Well, you haven't lost Cody Bellinger yet.
We lost Devin Williams.
You didn't even try to keep him.
Well, regardless, though, we traded assets. He was gone a year later.
They didn't even try to keep him.
Well, because he wasn't as good as Soto was, but nonetheless, they still traded assets. You think they traded thinking they weren't going to, Williams wasn't going to be good and they weren't going to sign him?
I think that things change. And I think that his struggles combined with trading for David Bednar and Camilo Duvall change things. That's the way I would answer that.
Yeah, okay.
What they thought in March is very different than what they're thinking now. But they did not try to re-sign Devin Williams, just for the record. They didn't even make an offer. Ron in Jersey City. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki.
What's up?
Evan, remember last week when I called and I was saying about how when they signed Devin Williams that it made me nervous because that made me feel like they're not going to sign Diaz. And it's going to be even closer for them not signing Pistol Pete. And I'm so mad right now that I want to do one of your moves and just hang up.
One of my moves. I'm not hanging up on
it. That's how you, I know, but I'm saying that's one of your moves, though. But this pissed me off, and I just said it to you last week. I didn't like it.
No, you did. I remember your call, Ron, before they go signing Williams.
Yeah. They go signing Williams before they even think about Diaz. Come on now. You don't do that.
I don't know when they signed Devin Williams, and thank you for the call, Ron, if they did it knowing we may lose him.
Yeah.
Or if they did it being aggressive.
In retrospect, it feels like it. That maybe that this is why they signed Devin Williams. Even though they said all the right things, which was, we'd love to have the 1-2 combo. And, I mean, I forget what Devin Williams responded to that. Didn't he say I'd love to or something?
So he
gave
a very mixed message.
Yeah.
Because in one breath he said, I would love to be a part of that with Edwin.
Right.
But then, and I remember Sean brought this up to me on off air and said, does this concern you? And that was, Devin was asked point blank, did other teams offer you different roles?
Right.
And his answer was, every team I spoke to talked about the closer's job.
Yes.
Which some Met fans took as, does that include the Mets? That the Mets say, you're the closer.
Well,
now, my assumption at the time was the Mets said to him, if we don't keep Edwin Diaz, and we're trying to, you're the closer. If not, we got this great 1-2 punch.
Yeah. I think it was both. It was probably both. It's exactly as you said. We're trying to sign Edwin Diaz, as you know. But who knows if we actually are. We need you to be our closer. We need you to be our insurance.
No doubt. We'll hear from more Met fans coming up, 888-808-1019, plus the results of that poll. Who are you most pissed at right now? Is it Diaz? Is it Cohen? Is it Stearns? Is it everybody? And we unveil three more in 25 and 25, the most memorable moments from New York sports this past year. As we conclude 2025, every day at 4:30, we are counting down the most memorable moments from the year that was in New York sports. A very special committee, well, I'm not even sure who's on the committee, has counted them down from 25 to 1, and every day we reveal three, and then later next week, we'll find out the most memorable moment in New York sports from the year that was. Yesterday, we heard that Brandon Nimmo, shockingly being traded, was 25. Pete Alonso, becoming the all-time Mets home run king, was 24. And Clark Schmidt, ruining Sean Morash's weekend, getting pulled with a no-hitter, was number 23. I want to make it very clear, according to the committee, and they made this clear a few days ago, any sporting event or transaction that happens after the list debuts, which was yesterday, will not be counted on the list. And so because of that, Edwin Diaz going to the Dodgers, at least according to what the committee sent us last week, will not be on this list.
Yes, question, Sean.
Okay, I think there's a valid question. Does Edwin Diaz get lost to the ether, or does that count as a 2026 move?
Great question. I will email the committee.
It's 2026 move.
Yeah. That'd be my guess, but I don't know for sure.
But you know what's going to happen.
We're going to forget about it.
No, the Dodgers are going to win a World Series, and Edwin Diaz is going to be the MVP. And in we're not going to forget about it.
Or
because it'll be in our face.
Or can I say one positive thing since I've been so negative for 2.5 hours? What if Edwin Diaz melts down in the finale of the NLCS, sending the Mets to the World Series?
Or melts down in the World Series against the Yankees?
Well, that would help you guys, yes. Either or. So anyhow, that's who was debuted yesterday, 25, 24, and 23, which means we are now down to 22 in 25 in 25.
Number 22. Chris Kreider gets traded.
Can you believe it? Chris Kreider with the natural hat trick, the go-ahead goal in Game 6 in hopes of finishing off the Hurricanes.
Another guy who crowds the front of the net is changing teams. Chris Kreider leaving New York for beautiful California sunshine, guys. He's headed to the Anaheim Ducks.
How's that make you feel, Sean?
That still makes me sad. Chris Kreider in 6 days will make his return to Madison Square Garden. There's not going to be a dry eye in the house. That was a guy who deserved to be a lifelong Ranger and arguably the biggest hockey story of 2025.
Really? I kind of forgot about it.
Well, it was a hockey story.
It also happened months ago.
That's true.
Would you, on this day of Diaz leaving and potentially Pete Alonso leaving relatively soon, where would you put that on the Diaz and Alonso leaving scale?
Well, to be fair, I have to see where Alonso goes. What minimizes Kreider is he went to a very nondescript Dodger. Ducks. Dodger.
In L.A., yeah. But different.
Right, exactly.
It would be Pete Alonso going to the Angels.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Or Edwin Diaz going to the Angels.
Right, it's a non-threat to the Rangers.
All right, so there you go. That was number 22. Let's hear number 21.
Number 21. The Islanders win the lottery and select Matthew Schaefer.
In the first overall selection in the 2025 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the New York Islanders.
Do you believe in miracles, Kenny Morrow? Because your team has pulled it off. The New York Islanders have won the NHL Draft Lottery.
You know what's crazy?
I'm surprised that one's not higher because I do remember that.
That's what I was
mainly
thinking.
Because it was...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was like conspiracy.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a conspiracy attached to it because the Islanders lost the All-Star game.
Uh-huh.
And so the thought was the lottery was handed to them because they lost the All-Star game. But the impact of Schaefer, this 18-year-old stud, mm-hmm, coming to Long Island and also embracing it with this larger-than-life personality,
right,
living with, you know, a former Islander legend and Boomer's daughter. Like, this is going to have one of the great impacts of anything that happened in the year that was. So I agree. My first reaction is that's got to be a lot higher.
Matthew Schaefer is the new king of New York sports.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, I guess when you put it that way, it's tough to hear a call where you say, do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in miracles? They had the All-Star game taken from, of course. Everybody knew they were getting the first
cover. Exactly.
I know, but the odds were
it's
still...
It's a manufactured miracle.
Of course.
And everybody knew it.
That was WWE writers.
Yes.
There. I don't care. Knicks fans don't care if it was fixed for Patrick Ewing. I don't care if it was fixed for Matthew Schaefer. And you certainly won't care if, you know, Adam Silver pays back Joe Tsai by opening up China again and sending the lottery to Brooklyn. You ain't going to care either.
No, fix it for me. I don't care. By the way, fix the NFL draft. Yeah,
all right, so a couple of hockey notes today. As you may notice, the Islander event finishing ahead of the Ranger event. And here is number 20.
Number 20. Woody Johnson verbally destroys Justin Fields.
What's your confidence level in Aaron to turn it around?
Well, it looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with, you know, with a rating that we've got. You know, he has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league. Have to play consistently with, you know, at that position, and that's what we're going to try to do for the remainder of the season.
So what gives you hope then?
I just think defense, special teams are doing better.
I think we've heard enough.
Yeah,
verbally destroying Justin Fields, and the reason
my quarterback sucks.
The reason this should be high on this list is if I ask you 7 years from now to define Justin Fields' time with the New York Jets, the first thing people are going to think about is Woody Johnson verbally destroying
him. There's not any other memorable moments. What other memorable Justin Fields moment is there? He's been good in a couple of these games, but is any of them memorable?
Almost beating the Steelers in week one.
But not even really, because that was more about the Steelers stealing it at the end.
Well, I do remember that day coming on the air saying, hey, Justin Fields outplayed Aaron Rodgers, which I believed.
Yeah.
So I think from a performance standpoint, you're not wrong, Sean, but no one's going to remember that. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the thing we're going to remember about Justin Fields' failed time here is Woody Johnson verbally ripping him.
You can't complete a forward pass.
I don't want to blame Aaron Glenn. I think he's actually pretty good, but his quarterback sucks.
That's exactly what he said. I will continue the list tomorrow at 4:30. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019, the number. Let's go to Anthony in Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick. So, Evan, would you have the same feeling towards Diaz if Lindor didn't bail him out in Atlanta a couple years ago?
It's a great question. No, that's a great question.
And then I have one more thing after that.
All right, go ahead. I'm thinking about it.
Oh, the other thing about with Stearns is you got to let the guy build his team. Why is it a requirement for him to retain guys that he may or may not want? And that goes to what Tiki was saying earlier about having the mandate with Alonzo. Like, if Stearns doesn't want Alonzo, then in my opinion, he needs to build a team the way he wants to do it, good or bad. That's what we're paying him for. So he shouldn't be forced to sign anybody.
No, Anthony,
if he doesn't
you're right about that. And the challenge for Met fans is it felt so close with what was previously here. And so why change it so dramatically? And yes, you might have a different vision, David Stearns. You might see it from a different lens because you came from a small market environment where you had to piece it together. Now you just put a little bit of that financial resource behind you. It could be a powerhouse for years to come and not overly expensive. But the Met fan just wants to see winning. And you were so close to winning. Why change it so drastically?
And also, our affection towards Diaz, certainly a lot of it is what he's done here, but it's also he's the best closer in baseball.
Right.
He's proven he can handle this. So when you talk about winning a championship, I think the argument most Met fans are going to make today and over the next few days talking about this is that Edwin Diaz gave the Mets the best chance to win. Now, he brought up a great question, and it's a hypothetical question that I can use on everybody else in a million different circumstances. And that's, what if this didn't happen? How would you feel about this player? Right? You can do this to Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. We can find moments on his playoff run and say, well, if this didn't happen, what do you think of him? So he brings up game 161. Edwin Diaz did not cover first base. Edwin Diaz blew that game.
Yeah, defense.
1,000%.
Run prevention.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Right.
Run prevention.
So what would my opinion and what would Met fans' opinions be on Edwin Diaz if they did not come back and win that game? Well, what happens in 162? Do they make the playoffs? Do they win a round? Like, there's so many moving pieces on that. But that's sports. That's the beauty of sports.
Yeah.
What would you think if this didn't happen? What would you think if Jeffrey Mayer wasn't born and didn't help Derek Jeter at all? Like, there's a million questions like that, and they're impossible to answer. But yes, if your point is Lindor bailed out Edwin Diaz, he did.
Well, especially because those, we were just talking about the Justin Fields memorable moments, if this is the end of his tenure here, and it feels like it is. There aren't any of them. But it's because he didn't play in any big moments that were memorable, good or bad. There were no big moments. And if you do it in a big moment, it's memorable. And especially if it works positively for your team, it becomes something that defines your emotional relationship with that player.
There are three things that cause me to really believe at 4:41 p.m. Tuesday, December 9th, that Pete Alonso's gone. One of the things is the report that the Mets are hesitant to go more than 3 years for Pete Alonso.
Yes.
Number two is Scott Boras saying that it is fair for a younger player to demand a longer contract than going on a 33-year-old Kyle Schwarber. So basically, Scott Boras is saying it's fair for us to ask for more than what Schwarber got, a five-year deal, because Pete's 2 years younger. So when you take the combination of the Mets don't want to go more than 3 years, Boras is basically saying it's fair to ask for more than five.
So basically six or seven.
Yes, it feels. And the fact that the Orioles made a five-year offer on Schwarber and missed out, it feels like it is destiny.
Yeah.
Like it is inevitable that Alonso's bolted.
It's almost like his agent is trying to force the hand of the Mets, which is going to force him out the door. That's what it feels like. It's like he's aggressively, again, negotiating. We already know how David Stearns and Steve Cohen feel about this because they said it. Blatantly said it at the Met Fan Fest last year about how he hated the negotiation, how it sounded and how it felt and how disappointed they were. Actually, no, they said it at the signing, right, when they ultimately did sign him. But it seems like his agent is doing the same thing.
Well, I think his agent is pushing for the longest-term deal possible, and based on the fact that Kyle Schwarber got a five-year deal and other teams made a five-year offer, rightfully so, Scott is looking at Pete's line of work and Kyle's line of work and saying, why are we after settling for less?
Shouldn't you just not talk about it?
Well, you're asking Scott Boras to do something he's not used to.
I'm just being honest. Like, you're in a spot where the market for the DH, whatever, how you want to classify Pete Alonso, Kyle Schwarber, whatever their combo sounds like, it's shrinking. Like, there's only a couple of availabilities here. Shouldn't you work on getting a deal done instead of yelling at people that this is the deal I want? Well, I'm being honest. Like, I think it feels counterintuitive to me.
Do you realize that Scott Boras probably has like a billion minions doing his dirty work? Mm-hmm. At least that's an assumption I make. So that while he's talking to the media about demands for Pete Alonso, he's probably got his Boras cronies negotiating. This just feels.
But it's not him.
No, I get you. But it's Boras Co. This feels, and if you want to walk me off the ledge, I'd appreciate it, but I'm also not telling you to do it. This feels like there's no chance Pete's
gone. We're not in contract hibernation.
This feels like Pete Alonso's gone. A, ownership and David Stearns were comfortable enough trading Brandon Immo, letting Edwin Diaz go.
Right.
They're sticking on 3 years on Alonso. It feels like there will be a market greater than that based on what was made for Kyle Schwarber. It feels like we are inevitably watching Pete Alonso be gone too. Am I wrong?
No, it absolutely does. And it almost.
So you're not going to walk me off the ledge?
I'm not walking you off this ledge.
Thanks.
Because I feel like his agent is walking him closer to the ledge.
Mm.
Walking Pete, not you, walking Pete closer to the ledge of not signing with the Mets.
I don't blame his agent. His agent's trying to get as many years as he can. The Mets are the ones saying we're only going to stick at three, and last year worked. It may not work this year.
Who else is giving him more than 5 years?
The fact that the Orioles offered...
Do we even know that the Orioles offered... Yes, he offered Schwarber 5 years. There's something different and more appealing, apparently, from Kyle Schwarber than it is Pete Alonso.
What? What am I missing?
Honestly, we talked about this yesterday, and I don't have a clear answer for you, but maybe it's just as simple as you know he's just a DH.
You can make Pete a DH, though.
But is Pete going to want to be a DH? Or is Pete going to bitch and moan and say, oh, I worked really hard at being a first baseman. Didn't you hear my agent talk about how I did all these other metrics and all this off-season work and yada, 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 and nonsense? Teams don't want that. They don't want to hear the story. They just want a clear-cut, you're my DH, fit into this role, this is what we're going to pay you, let's go.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, it sounds like his agent is complicating this in a significant way that's going to turn teams off, including the team he's been homegrown with and been with for his entire career.
Tommy, can you walk me off the ledge?
I can.
Good luck.
Here's exactly how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to use reverse Evan Roberts logic. Going into this offseason, I think you were 99% sure Edwin Diaz would return. And you were probably 40% that Pete Alonso would return. Well, Edwin didn't, so you were wrong on that. So we're going to follow that same formula for Pete Alonso in the Evan Roberts has been wrong a lot category, and Pete Alonso will re-sign with the Mets. Now, he has a ton of leverage here. He could get whatever he wants out of the Mets. I don't think, and you could save this and play it back, I don't think that Steve Cohen is going to allow, because if Pete Alonso's not a Met, there's going to be a mutiny amongst the fans. I mean, this is a tough time to be positive, Tommy. After Edwin's gone, you have to re-sign Pete Alonso. You have to. It is number one priority. It is the Juan Soto from last year. This is the guy. There's no replacing him. There's no recreating him, especially with Schwarber off the market. Pete Alonso has to be a Met. Steve Cohen has to know that, and I think Steve personally, Tiki, will handle this negotiation.
Possibly.
I believe.
But you know how exhausted he was from it last year. He said so.
It's true.
Well, it's going to be a lot more. It's going to be even more exhausting when the fans are frustrated and aggravated all season.
I know, but
season.
Just imagine you're Steve Cohen and you're personally handling this, and you have Pete's agent just constantly barraging you with nonsense, like stuff you don't want to. Just shut up, dude. I just want to negotiate the deal.
Let's get a deal done. We're not in contract hibernation.
And instead, you're getting, well, he wants to play first base. You know, he put in all this work. And he's 31 years old, not 33 years old. And Schwarber got 5 years, $150 million. We should get 7 years, $290 million. Like, it just gets exhausting when you hear it over and over and over and over and over again. And you know you're not going there.
Right.
And so I feel like there's going to be a point where Steve Cohen just says, go scratch, dude. I'm done with you. I don't want to talk to you.
And then what?
I'd love to talk to Pete, but I don't want to talk to you.
And then what?
Remake it.
Good luck.
I know.
I believe.
Cody Bellinger.
Okay, that's who's represented by Scott Barnes?
It doesn't matter.
You're still talking
He's
to him.
He's not talking about Cody Bellinger like that.
Yeah.
He's not.
I have this feeling, and this time I think I'll be right. If Pete Alonso leaves the New York Mets, that will officially be the death of positive Tommy. If Edwin Diaz didn't kill him, if collapsing like dogs in 2025 didn't kill you, that will be the moment where we get, and people are waiting for it, and I respect it, the positive Tommy heel turn. And you know I'm right, Tommy. I can sense it.
Positive Tommy has to live forever.
No, he doesn't.
The Mets and Steve Cohen and David Stearns are obviously pushing the boundaries here with positive Tommy. I'll say that. They're making my job a lot more difficult than I thought it would be at first, but we have to stay the course, Evan. We have to stay the course.
All right. Stay the course. Let's go to Clem in Rockland County. What's up, Clem?
Hey, good evening, guys. I got a question for you. Who's a better closer, Diaz or Holmes?
Diaz? Come on.
No. I agree. But. Stearns talking all this run prevention. The best ground ball rate from 21 to 24 by far has been Holmes.
Right.
So what I'm thinking is they're going to be shopping for two top-of-the-end pitchers and move home Clay Holmes to the bullpen and problem solved.
That's a good plan.
So basically, the Met 8th inning, 9th inning combo will be the two former Yankee closers run out of town in consecutive years.
Yes.
Well, you could sign Luke Weaver, too.
I don't know if I would say Devin Williams was run out of town.
Oh, come on. Well, a lot of people didn't want him back. I wouldn't say all of them, but the Yankees didn't even make an offer.
True, but he was, I mean, whatever. He wasn't terrible.
I think that Clay Holmes.
Down the stretch, he wasn't terrible. Obviously, collectively, he was, but down the stretch, he was not terrible.
No, I get you. I think Clay Holmes has that ability to do it. Mm-hmm. And so if the offseason goes in a certain way, sure, it's an option. David Stearns was asked about this yesterday. About moving Clay Holmes to the bullpen. He made clear that is not a part of their plan.
Right.
And it wouldn't be a part of my plan either because Clay Holmes actually had a pretty good year as a starter. I'd want to see more from Clay Holmes as a starting pitcher. But it's an option.
It's a postseason option.
Oh, definitely,
If you get your rotation solid.
Definitely. It's definitely a postseason option. Let's go to Mike in Farmingdale. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how we doing? Thanks for taking the call. I just want to make two quick points after I tell you about this breaking news that you guys haven't reported on yet here in the New York area. Today, the Mets have been mathematically eliminated from the 2026 playoffs. That's the breaking news. Haven't heard you guys report on that yet. But number two, two quick points to Tiki's point earlier, before last break. Diaz definitely looked around, doesn't mean he's not a competitor. He definitely looked around the locker room, and he said, I am not winning here. And I have a message for Pete Alonso, if he's listening in his car. Pete, go now. Go somewhere else. It's the only chance you have to be a winner, because if you stay here, you're going to be a loser. Mm. And that's the Met.
Is that a Met fan or a Yankee fan speaking? Could you figure that out?
That's a Yankee
fan. That is a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
That is clearly a Yankee fan. My God. But you know what? There were enough Met fans.
But he's not wrong.
That his only chance to win is to leave because the Mets are a bunch of losers? Are you co-signing that, Tiki?
No, I'm not.
I think that, and this is where I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be a very fair individual. There were enough Met fans, whether on this radio station or in this town, who a year ago not only enjoyed signing Juan Soto, but enjoyed rubbing it in, that a part of New York baseball is being a jerk back. And so for all the Yankee fans that took a lot of heat last year for the Mets stealing Juan Soto and being told their baby brother now, this is your chance to get your blood.
Yeah.
And even if I wasn't the person doing it, I understand it.
Yeah,
so, fine. You got something to say now? You want your blood there, Shawnee?
No, I would ask all Yankee fans to rise above it. That's all. And just understand that big brothers would never have Mariano Rivera leave in his prime. That would never happen. Yeah. So,
any trumpet jokes, or are you good? Are you good with the Mariano line? We're good?
I'm good with that. I don't need to do that, Evan. We're above that as Yankee fans. Even John and Maspeth will always be above it. Mm. I do have to say, though, there are probably audience members that are just tuning in who didn't realize we were on SNY the first 2 hours of the show, and I'm getting a lot of questions why you're not wearing the L. I think you should restate that.
Yeah, so I was wearing the L at the start of the show because, as I promised, I'll wear an L until Edwin Diaz signs. Actually, he did sign, so I guess I could take it off. But Tiki said me wearing the L for what is either my incorrect prediction or incorrect report that has been debated from Friday's show.
Or mushing
Edwin Diaz's return.
Yes.
Earlier in the show, Tiki made a decision that you two agreed with, that I wouldn't wear the L this week because that's not good enough, that I will be forced to wear the L every single time I go to a Mets-Dodgers game for the duration of Edwin Diaz's contract.
And every show that the Mets play the Dodgers.
And every show, home or road, where the Mets play the Dodgers.
For 3 years. Yeah.
For 3 years.
3 years. Yes. And you know what your lesson is there, Evan? You had win some, you lose some.
You Ed win some, you Ed lose some.
Ed win... Oh, jeez. I hate you. Sean's got his Cinco de 5-0 list coming up in a few minutes. We'll get back to your phone calls. And also, we check in on free agent bingo. At the beginning of this offseason, we all predicted where these free agents would go. What did we say about Edwin Diaz a month ago? What did we say about Kyle Schwarber? We'll check in on that scoreboard coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.